Kia ora, welcome to another episode of the Leadership Lounge. I'm Katie and I support healthcare leaders to manage the demands and complexities of their roles so that they can feel hopeful and excited about the incredible work that they do. The Leadership Lounge is a space for you to just stop and pause for a while, get a bit of a fresh perspective on the work that you're doing. Really great to have you here for another episode. And this week I've found myself recommending a book on a number of occasions, and I'm often doing book recommendations to people that I work with or talk with. But this idea of change and conversations about change have been quite prevalent for some time now, to be fair. In fact, someone said to me on one of the sessions, she says, well, this is just all leadership is, isn't it, right? It's just change. It's just how you lead and manage change. That is what leadership is. So change is a huge part of your role as a healthcare leader in a number of different settings and in different contexts. And so the book I recommended or found myself talking about frequently this last couple of weeks was the book called Switch by Dan and Chip Heath. Now, I read the book. I heard Dan Heath speak at a conference I went to when I was very early on in my leadership career. And I was quite inspired, quite taken by the model. And so I went and dutifully grabbed the book. And the book has stayed on my shelf, and I got it out this week or to record this to do a bit of prep and to refresh myself a little bit more than the highlights. And it's one of those books that is covered in post-it notes and little comments. Now, I do this frequently, but what was really funny about rereading all the comments was I was in a charge nurse role when I read this book. And so the examples and the things that mattered have really stood out. So this podcast is really a kind of an overview of that, of the book and the model for change that they talk about and present. But it's also some of the really random things that I've then noted as I've come along from these purple post-it notes that are in my book. So definitely some flicking between some note pages that you'll hear, because while I am beginning to learn things about the sound, it is still early on in this whole podcast career business. So Switch by Chip and Dan Heath. So they have three phases to their model. In fact, direct the rider, motivate the elephant, and shape the path. So direct the rider, motivate the elephant, and shape the path. Now, I have to be really honest here. On their website, they have an incredible array of resources. You need to put your email in, but you get a whole load of free stuff, including some short videos, some workbooks you can download, some incredible stuff that is in there, and some podcasts and things. So please, this is my take on it and my perspective from someone who read it some years ago as a charge nurse, and I'm now re-looking at it from the perspective that I'm at now in terms of how I help and support others that are leading in healthcare. So lots of great stuff on there. But let's talk through the model in that high-level format and some of the things within those three stages. So you've got to conjure up this image of a rider on an elephant, and the elephant being this big, huge thing that can be hard to control and steer, and the rider as, you know, this small person sitting on top, trying their best, knowing that they're supposed to go this way, but the elephant keeps wanting to go that way, and actually things keep getting in the way. And that kind of really sums up this great picture of what change can feel like, even on a personal level, from to trying to get other people to change their behavior. And that's one of the key starting points for this model, is to just step back and go, actually, all change is asking yourself or others to behave differently. It's asking you to do something a bit different. And that's why it can be scary or awkward or hard, or, you know, we just generally just want to avoid it because we're comfortable with what we're doing and what we know. So going back to this idea of the rider and the elephant, the rider represents our sort of logical brain, the brain that knows, the thing that understands the data, that understands that smoking is bad for you. And then the elephant represents more of the less evolved parts of our brain and those emotions and those drivers and the triggers that actually make us carry on smoking even though we know smoking is bad for us. And then shape the path is talking about the environment that we're in and how that could alter your ability to change your own behavior or the behavior of others. So really easy kind of visual kind of image around we've got a rider, we've got an elephant, and we've got a path that we need to go down. How do we do those things? How do we help the rider? How do we give the rider the direction that they need to go in? How do we motivate the elephant so the elephant actually wants to go in that direction as well? Because the elephant actually wants to go off in that direction because it looks a lot tastier. Thank you very much. And how do we create the path so it's easy for everyone? What I like about the book, and I still like about the book, having gone back and flicked in it, there are hundreds of stories in it and examples, and they pull out these little case studies of how they've the model sits in with them. But it's just proliferated. I must remember not to use words that I'm going to get tongue-tied on when recording a podcast. It's full of lots of stories and anecdotes, but it's also got that research and evidence base in there. So for someone that, you know, you want to be reading something that has got a bit of a backing, but you actually really enjoy the stories, it's a really cool book to read. So let's start off with directing the rider. So each of the stages has three kind of ideas, if you like. And so direct the rider, the first one is follow the bright spots. Now, this is possibly one of the ones I get drawn to quite easily because this is about looking for what is working well already. This is for asking yourself the question, who is doing that well now and how are they doing it? How can I learn from them so that I can put that into practice in my environment? It's asking things like calls it the exception question. So when does the problem you're fighting not happen? So the example it gives, when does your teenager not talk back to you? So it asks you to look at the times where it doesn't happen. So this connects in with ideas of like safety too, and it connects in with building on your strengths and building on those things. So finding the bright spots is really cool. And in the video that they release, they talk about if you ever get a report card back and you've got a couple of C's, you've got a B, you've got an A, you've got an F, you've got a D, you've got a couple more B's, you are going to go down to the F and the D and go, what went on there? And I remember once I was doing a nurse prescribing course and we had lots of assessments as part of the nurse prescribing, and I got my report and my supervisor, who was the cardiologist I was working with, he looked at the report I got and he went, you got 4 A's. What happened there with that B? I was just like, come on, I just got 4 A's and you want to talk about the B? It's that kind of thing that we are naturally going to do that. It just happens, right? What Find the Bright Spots is asking you to do is just to put that to one side. And to go, let's look at what's working well. So that's about getting a bit deeper and getting a bit curious. And it's asking some questions to just go and understand how are they doing that? How do you make that work? Another example that they use in Find the Bright Spots is about asking the miracle question. And when I read this book, and I made lots of notes about it, because I remember it was the first time I'd come across that example of the miracle question. Now, if you're not sure about what the miracle question is, then you definitely want to sign up for my email, my I Am No Jedi email, because we'll be talking about the miracle question in this week's email. So you can sign up for that at katiequinney.com/subscribe. And yeah, we'll be talking about the miracle question there. So because I was trying to keep this podcast, you know, kind of down to like 20 minutes or so, I can't go into every single aspect of it. But bright spots, really important, and lots of elements about how you can do that. So the next thing in the model, as she tries to grab her book that she's now just shoved under the desk, is the script the critical moves. So this is also a part of directing the rider. It's about scripting the critical moves. And this is about being really, really clear about how people should act what they need to be doing, but it's also about not giving them a list of 50 things they need to do. What are the critical things? And picking those one starts. So an example I wrote down in my book was to talk about specific actions for a coordinator when facing a crappy day. And actually, when I re-looked at it, what I meant was, what are the behaviours that I wanted the coordinator on the ward to do when the day was a bit tough? And a thing that I pointed out when I reread it is this idea that you can't script every move. And that's why you have to focus on the critical moves. And they compare it a little bit to like a game of chess. But they're also asking you to go, what's the one thing? And I ask the what's the one thing a lot when I'm working with people. What's the one thing that could make a difference? What's the one thing that's going to get you a little bit closer? And it's because we have 20 things on our lists, at least, most of the time that we want to do. But it's about just what are the critical things that are going to make the biggest difference. So that's one of the things within that script, that critical moves. Find one place to start, but being really clear about how you want people to act. So it's a lot about the behaviours as much as the actual actions. And then the last step in the direct the rider element of the model is to point to the destination. And what it says here is change is easier when you know where you're going and why it's worth it. So this is where you're ping in things like vision and goals. But the idea that they talk about in the book is this idea of having a destination postcard. If you were all going to create a postcard about where you were trying to get to with this piece of work or the change that you're trying to do, what is the destination that you're trying to get to? So you just make it really, really clear about why you need to get there, but also where you're getting to. So that's direct the rider. We've got follow the bright spots, script the critical moves, and point to the destination. So the second stage, or the second part of the model, is about motivating the elephant. So the elephant being the one who kind of puts a bit of a rose-coloured spectacles on the things that we're doing and how we act and how it interprets what we're doing. So it kind of tells us that, yeah, we're doing all right, actually. Yeah, you're doing fine. And it's okay to keep going. You don't need to change. So it got really interesting when I re-looked at this section, because they talk a lot about, in this section, this is a lot about finding the emotion, right? It's about finding the feeling. Knowing something isn't enough to cause change. Make people feel something. So they've got lots of examples, and actually they do, in pretty much every section of the chapter, they do have healthcare examples. So it's really, it's one of those books that you can really easily pick up and relate to the world of healthcare. And even the other examples that they use that are non-healthcare examples, you can still take out and go, oh yeah, yeah, that's how I would use that. They've got a great bit in one of the section about having to cut costs and make savings, which I thought, given the state of healthcare at the moment, that was quite an interesting one to sort of read through. But I'm not referencing that one today at all. That's one you need to go and dig into yourself. So, right, we're motivating the elephant, and finding the feeling is the first step in that. And there's an interesting kind of couple of chapters where they think about that idea between the urgency, creating the crisis. And if you think about COVID, or if you think about John Cotter's books around creating the urgency, this idea that crisis enables people to act differently. And that the other thing they talk about is the burning platform, where we actually have to jump off the platform into the burning sea. Life is so terrible, we have to act. Now, they're not saying don't do that, but they're just saying that context. And what the context they put around it is, yes, you do get actions. And if we think about actual burning platforms, there are moments where we do have to take those very quick, very specific actions in order to survive or to keep other people safe. So they're the time, there are the moments, they're the context and the situations where you'd use the urgency and the crisis and the sort of the negative elements of those emotions around stuff. Negative emotions give us a very narrowing effect. stomach is very, very focused. So yeah, something is on fire. We need to get out of it. So it's that fear state. So if you need a quick, specific action, then negative emotions might help. But if you want a longer term or a more sustainable change, so if you're talking about how do we treat each other, how do we give each other feedback, or how are we going to respond to patients in a particular way, you know, if you're talking about something that you need something a bit more sustainable that is not a burning platform, you're going to burn people out by trying that approach, that negative approach, because it's not going to sustain people. So it talks about positive emotions create this broadening and building effect. And that when you're in that sort of positive state, that's when people get interested and they want to learn and they want to try new things. So there's a lot in that space. And there's a lot, as you can imagine, in this around that sort of the positive energy that you bring in, and definitely connects into that bright spot part of the model. So a lot in that space as well. So find the feeling. Now, I think when you talk about finding the feeling, I think patient stories are one of the easiest, or patient examples are one of the easiest things to go to. But equally so are staff stories around what it feels like to work there, what good days feel like. You know, so there's a lot of things that you can do in that space. The second part for motivating the element is about shrinking the change. They got some fabulous examples in this section of the book, but shrinking the change is really connects in with a lot of those things that you read currently about habit formation and, you know, being 1% better. So it's about making something as easy as possible. It says, break down the change until it no longer spooks the elephant. Great example that they give is around a loyalty card. And they have this example of you need to get 8 car washes to get your free car wash. And in one group, they gave a card with 8 stamps that they had to get stamped. And in another one, they gave it with 10 stamps and the first 2 were already stamped. So it kind of it talks about them giving people a head start. And so what they found in that example was that the people that had the head start, had 10 stamps to get, did better or were more sustainable at coming back to that same car wash than the people that were starting from the start line, I guess. So it's this idea of how can you give people a head start? And then the last, they do talk about habits a lot in there, but habits is another one of those huge topics that is now on the list for the podcast. But it talks about that when I've done some blog posts around habits, and I'll put a couple of links into them because I've done a few. I was trying a habit where I needed to be cycling every day to help my knee recover, and found these great TED Talks about habit formation and this idea of doing something for just 2 minutes or doing something for just 1 minute. So what's the easiest thing that you can do? So there's a lot, since this book has been written, there's been a lot more written on habits. So I could feel a lot of connection around that. So I feel the habit part deserves its whole episode, really. One line that did stand out when I was looking at this bit, though, was the rather than this, you know, idea, and this might be because my house needs cleaning at the moment, it might be the how do I make my house cleaner rather than how do I make my house clean? So we can sometimes become completely overwhelmed by the amount of work or the stuff that needs to be done or the change that needs to be put in place that we actually just freeze and we do nothing. Can we go and sit in the garden and read the book? Not that I would do that, of course. So how do I make my house cleaner rather than how do I make my house clean? Just shifting slightly. So then now I'm checking where are we up to. So we're at shrinking the change. So that's a lot about the breaking it down and forming some habits, and that 1% bigger. I think the other thing that would come into there is how you remind people how far they've come, so that they know they're making progress. The third section in Motivate the Elephant is about growing your people. And in this section, there's a couple of things that have really stood out in that. And this is the idea about cultivating an identity. Now, I think in healthcare, that becomes a really, really interesting topic because so many people are formed around their identity about who they are. I'm a nurse, I'm an occupational therapist, I'm a pharmacist. So, and it does, the book does talk about the dangers of over-identifying. So there's some really interesting work to think about in that, and maybe that needs to be another chapter as well, who knows. But this idea, they did give one example around a hospital where there was an incredible turnover of staff, and the lack or the poor retention rates was costing them a fortune. So rather than looking at why people were leaving, they started to ask people why they were staying. What was it about, why are you staying in this job? Why have you stayed here? And there was a lot of, they got into conversations about what people are good at. And they sort of changed the narrative around what it's like to work there. So rather than focusing on the why people are going, they looked and creating that really positive identity about the people that stay there. Now, I think, you know, it'd be foolish to say that there are not challenges and hard things going on in healthcare right now. But I also know there's a lot of great stuff going on in healthcare right now. And I think what this book reminded me of, and re-looking at it, is that having conversations about why we do what we do, why we stay where we stay, that helps to shift the narrative. What are we good at? What's going well? So again, this thread through this whole model, really, about finding the bright spots, shrinking the change, making this easier, but also about forming our identity around things. And what are the stories we want to share about what it's like to work here? If we're going to talk about how terrible it is to work in healthcare all the time, we are hardly likely to attract more people to come and work in healthcare. Let's not ignore the challenges and the things that need to shift, but let's also talk about all the great stuff that goes on. So there's that part, identity. I got off on a tangent there, could you tell? The other element in growing your people is this idea of a growth mindset, which is already on the list for a whole podcast. And I've will include some links to the growth mindset idea. If you've not come across it, definitely something you just need to be conscious of. Now, so there's our motivate the elephant, find the feeling, shrink the change, grow your people. And I realize I figured this would be a longer than normal podcast, but that's cool. Let's head into the last section, was about shaping the path. So the three elements in this one are tweaking the environment, building habits, and rallying the herd. So tweaking the environment, I made this hysterical note in the book on a post-it note, and I didn't read the rest of the chapter because at this point I thought I've already got lots of things to say. You need to start to be wrapping this up, Kate. But I wrote one-click ordering. There needs to be more one-click ordering in healthcare. Clearly, when I was reading this book, I was a charge nurse, and you have to do all the ordering, you have to do all the staff sorting, you have to do the recruitment stuff, and everything is a different system, and you've got to sign in 500 times, and all of that stuff. And I remember the ordering process being a complete nightmare. And so that's clearly why it made it to a post-it note. There needs to be more one-click ordering in healthcare. So how do you make it easier? So they've got lots of ideas, and on their website we can get the resources. They've got this really cool thing called a workbook for Switch, and it gives you lots of different examples around things. But it does point out to emphasize the tweak the environment. And I think that's a really important mindset in healthcare. So often we can't do major structure changes. We can't do X, we can't do Y that would make it perfect, but we can tweak the environment. And I also like the element about tweaking the environment. A lot of people, we talk about the number of interruptions we get or distractions we get, and how can we tweak the environment so that you get less of those interruptions. So they talk around this idea of quiet hours. So you're going to have say I'm having a quiet hour, which is where you can do some focused work, or you're thinking about how do you turn off your notifications on your email, or you hide things, or you don't open certain stuff. So you're just tweaking your environment so that you can get the work done that you need to get done. So I think the quiet hours, I think I the post-it note I wrote in this section of the chapter was about a sterile medication room. And this idea that you create environments that are treated in that same sort of sacred almost. And I was obviously one of the things I was being challenged with was as a charge nurse was how do we avoid interruptions and distractions when people are in the medication room and sorting out meds. So that idea, what is it that we can do just to tweak the environment? And is it actual things that we do? Is it little words that we use? How can we do that? And then we go into build habits. So I've already touched on habits, and I think this is probably one of the things I like about this model is that there is this sort of synergy between the three areas, but the different connections. So it's not like, so they're also, they build on each other. So you don't just do it, here's one, I've done it, tick off. They thread through and they weave through each other. And that makes the model stronger, potentially, making that bit up. So build habits. We've already talked about lots of evidence and lots of more work has been done on habits, and that will be another topic for another day. And then the last part is around rallying the herd. I've lost my page in my little book now. So this idea about the social pressure that we use. So you kind of, it's that encouraging. And the thing that came to mind for me was that the video about the lone man dancing on a hillside and how more and more people kind of come along and then it becomes the norm for them all to be dancing. So it's that idea about how we bring people along and how we support those that come along to start with. They talk about behavior is contagious, help it spread. So I think instantly I go to the thing that the way we show up is contagious. If you're going to walk in and you're going to say, oh, it's going to be a busy day today, everyone's already in that mindset. But if you talk about, hey, we're going to have a great day together, we've got an amazing team, we've got some people we need to do this with, you know, those kind of things. So behavior is contagious, how you show up. The other thing they talk about there is if people are embracing change, make sure their actions are visible. So you've got to get people sort of getting interested enough to look outside of their own echo chamber. So you showcase people who are actively supporting the change. So again, coming back to the video of the lone man dancing and how you support others, shine a spotlight on the early successes. If there's a bright spot, make sure everybody knows about it. So there we go. Longer podcast. I've really enjoyed going through it. I've really enjoyed the research I did when I re-delved back into this book, because it was a book that I really enjoyed at the time, found really practical kind of ideas. And my big success that came from this book was I was working on a cardiology ward and I was really struggling to get people to fill in the Fools assessment for people. There was this kind of perception that people, it's not really our biggest problem, we've got all these other problems. And to be fair, at the time, new charge nurse, right, and a young leader, I was, you know, trying to do the things that we were supposed to be doing, and completing Fools assessments was one of those things that we needed to do. So it's like, how do I get people to think about this? Because they know they need to do it. Putting up another poster is not going to help. How do I do it? And so this gave me some real ideas. And what I did was I looked back at the last 2 years of all of the falls that had happened on the ward. And on a long, long piece of brown, it was kind of like wallpaper paper, that brown rollout paper, I drew, and I am not a drawer, so they were stick people. I drew a stick person for everyone that had fallen. And I put a little note like tripped over drip stand, or, you know, a little bit of the context, or a little bit about they got a graze on their knee, or they got a skin flap on their elbow. I put a little bit about it and I made up names for everybody. And this became this rolled up paper. And so when I started talking to the teams about the Fools, why do we need to do the Fools assessments? I would then stand in the office, which was quite a long office, and I rolled out this piece of paper, and it was quite a long roll of all these different people over 2 years that had fallen. And all of a sudden they could see the impact that falls were having on people. There were stories behind everyone. So I'd moved from directing the rider, here's the assessment, this is what we're supposed to do, to them motivating the elephant so they could start to see the impact of happening and why this was important for them to do it. And it's one of those stories that even though it is now a long, long time ago that I did that, it still really resonates and people still talk to me about it now as something that's really stuck in their mind. And that I'm pretty sure that that is where I got the inspiration from, that kind of like being a little bit creative and thinking a bit differently. So there you go. That's the overview of Switch. It's really funny. One of the resources that he has on his website is Switch in 16 Minutes, where he gives a very concise kind of overview of it all and gives a couple of examples. I don't feel I've been that concise, but I hope I have given you the kind of intrigue to go and have a check out of their websites. I hope I've enticed you to sign up to the No Jedi email so that you'll hear all about the miracle question. I'd love to hear more about what you do, why you're listening, and tell me more about yourself. And you can contact me at katiequinney.com. It'd be great to connect with you. Final few things. It was International Nurses Day on the 12th on the Sunday. And so if you are a nurse, a happy International Nurses Day to you. If you follow me on social media or if you're on my email, you'll have got a little ping or something to say that I am giving away 5 coaching spots. So one-off one-on-one session for 5 different nurses, and you have got till the 14th to either comment on a social media post or flick back an email to me, and then you'll go in the draw to win one of those 5 spots. Be lovely to be able to connect with people and offer them just a short coaching session where an awful lot of things can be covered in one session. It'd be great to talk to you. So there you go. Thank you again for listening, and I will speak to you and looking forward to next week's session of the Leadership Lounge.